Welcome everyone to Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is not speculative knowledge, but this is revealed knowledge coming from the Supreme Person Himself, the source of all existence. So by understanding this knowledge, learning how to imbibe this knowledge in one's vision of reality and how to live in harmony with this knowledge, one becomes spiritually perfect and enters into a state of unlimited bliss, great knowledge, and great compassion. Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 18. Prithu Maharaj milks the earth planet, text number 20.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Others also, the inhabitants of planets known as Kim Purusha Loka, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. Purport. It is said that the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka can perform many wonderful mystic demonstrations. In other words, they can exhibit as many wonderful things as one can imagine. The inhabitants of this planet can do whatever they like or whatever they imagine. Such powers are also mystic powers. Possession of such mystic power is called Ishita. The demons generally learn such mystic powers by the practice of yoga. In the Dashama Skanda, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, There's a vivid description of how the demons appear before Krishna in various wonderful forms. For instance, Bakasura appeared before Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends as a gigantic crane. While present on this planet, Lord Krishna had to fight with many demons who could exhibit the wonderful mystic powers of Kim Purusha Loka. Although the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka are naturally endowed with such powers, one can attain these powers on this planet by performing different yogic processes. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Dalakamala proper yogic practices, we can develop the same powers of the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, or we can do anything imaginable. We can disappear from one place and appear in a different place in any form we like. Pretty interesting. The materialists would be very excited to hear about this. Wow. Show me the yogic practices I can do to develop these things. So there's actually a greater power that we're cultivating, even greater than this power. Srila Prabhupada explains in this way. He says, if one can chant the holy names of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world chants Hare Krishna. So these Kim Purusha Lokis, whatever you call them, are those who have such Kim Purusha Loka type powers, they can't inspire everybody to chant Hare Krishna. They can do something with their own form, but they can't actually change the human society. Therefore, the pure devotee is more powerful. His yogic power is more powerful. The pure devotee can inspire the whole world to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So which power do you think we should go after? Kim Purusha Loka powers or the pure devotee powers? What should we cultivate? What do you think? Pure devotee? Yeah, we should all try to become pure devotees. If even one of us can become a pure devotee,
According to Prabhupada's purport, that one devotee will inspire the whole world to chant Hare Krishna. So I know I'm not there yet because the whole world isn't chanting Hare Krishna. But that's my desire, you see, to be a pure devotee. You can inspire the whole world to chant Hare Krishna. That's a very good thing to think about when you chant your japa. Wow. Not only can I become delivered, but if I can perfect this chanting, I can influence the whole world to become Krishna conscious. Just in my bead bag, I can actually save the world in my bead bag. So it's really powerful. It's more powerful than the mystic power of the Kampura Shaloka, the holy name. So we should take this very, very, very seriously. Prabhupada said the most important thing is to save the world. And even more important, save yourself. As Guru Maharaj was pointing out last night in the program, somebody's drowning, saving him is very important, but if you don't know how to swim, how you can save them, you see. So the first thing is we have to become fixed in Krishna consciousness ourselves, you see. Because you can only give as much Krishna consciousness to others as you have yourself. So since the whole world is in desperate need of Krishna consciousness, we should all be praying and begging for the awakening of pure love of God within our hearts right now, not next week or next year or next lifetime. We should be focused on achieving Krishna Prema ASAP. You see, not only for our deliverance, but for the deliverance of all the living entities in this material existence. This is one of the symptoms of a devotee. He's an ocean of mercy. He's an ocean of compassion. He cannot tolerate to see anybody in a suffering condition. He does all kinds of austerities to help other people. If you look at Prabhupada's life, you can see how much he sacrificed his own time and energy just to help us become Krishna conscious. Can you imagine sleeping only 3.5 hours a day? Day after day, week after week. You see? He would take 2 hours a night and 1.5 hours nap in the day, and that was it. And he was endeavoring so much to instruct and guide us. It's amazing. Can you imagine he's with 5,000 disciples and they're trying to take care of each and every one of them? Prabhupada was so personal. When I joined, any devotee in the movement could write Prabhupada a letter and get an answer directly from Prabhupada with his signature on it. Can you imagine? That Prabhupada would write, any devotee who wanted to write Prabhupada, but it became unmanageable at one point. By around 72, it became unmanageable because there were so many devotees joining. So Prabhupada made a policy, only the temple presidents, sannyasis and GBC should write, and everybody else can ask them. But I had already been writing him before, and I was really attached to being able to write him and get an answer. So I took a chance. I wrote a letter when you weren't supposed to, with a policy you're not supposed to. I wrote Prabhupada a letter, and you know what? He answered me. He reminded me of the policy. So you know what he said? Then after reminding me of the policy, he said, but if there's any urgent need, I'm very happy to hear it from my beloved disciples. Wow. I had a concession from Prabhupada. In spite of the policy for the whole movement, he gave me of course the concession existed for everyone, but he personally told me about the concession. If I had an urgent need, he'd be very happy to hear from me. And I took advantage of that for a few more letters until I didn't really need it, because I knew it was a big burden on Prabhupada to have to answer so many letters. But when I had that urgent need, I wrote him and I got answer. I got letter after letter from him and helping me in my young brahmachari days become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So this is, we see how kind was she to Prabhupada. I mean, can you imagine coming to America with only 40 rupees after 2 heart attacks on the boat? He had a return passage on the boat. He could have gone back to India, you see, and lived in some ashram somewhere. He just chanted japas, reading Bhagavatam, you know, mellow, peaceful retirement, you could have done that. But no, in spite of 2 heart attacks and no money and no facilities, he took very, very seriously the order of his spiritual master that you must give this Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Many of his godbrothers got the same order, but he was the only one who could carry it out. The only one. He had that determination, I must somehow or other please my spiritual master. So if we, neophyte devotees, if we can learn from the example of Srila Prabhupada how to develop that determination that I must somehow or other serve the order of my spiritual master to awaken pure love of God within my heart and to give Krishna to suffering people of this world. If we can somehow imbibe that mood and spirit of Srila Prabhupada, this movement will take over the whole world very quickly. Prabhupada said in 18 days we can conquer the whole world. In 18 days. We simply have to develop that very serious mood we see in Srila Prabhupada. Each one of us to cultivate that intense desire to awaken pure love within the heart and to give pure love to everyone. That will bring about an incredible transformation in our lives and an incredible transformation in global history. It will be the greatest paradigm shift in thousands and thousands of years. It will go down in history. We can actually make ISKCON recognized as the world religion, Krishna consciousness recognized universally by everyone, Christians, Jews, Sikhs, Jains, agnostics, Muslims, everyone acknowledging this philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, is indeed the world religion. Because actually that Vaishnava philosophy is there everywhere. Lord Jesus was teaching it, Maharaja Muhammad was teaching it, the same teaching. But the difficulty is due to the material attachments, they divided it into this sect and that sect, this sect and that sect, and then fight. But that's not pure. That's not the pure teachings of Christ, or the pure teachings of Muhammad, or the pure teachings of these great saints. It's polluting it with material sense gratification. To get back to the original pure teaching, there's just one religion taught by all these great acharyas. Even Prabhupada said that Hajar Muhammad and Lord Jesus Christ were Shaktivesh avatars, as you can imagine. So we have to learn how to actually develop that mood of pure devotion to the Supreme Person. And by that devotion, our lives will become more amazing than the Kim Purusha Loka people are having with their own mystic powers. You see. We're going to have a much more amazing position. They're not qualified to see Krishna face to face, in spite of their mystic powers. But Prabhupada taught us a system where we can actually become qualified to directly associate with God Himself, face to face, eye to eye. Premanjana charita bhakti valarchanena santaksadai vrhidaye shivalokayanti yamsham shundaramachintya ganasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna Himself, with inconceivable and memorable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts. Of the eye of devotion, tinned with the salve of love. Well, there you go. That's the whole key, love. It's really interesting. The eye of devotion, tinned with the salve of love. The salve of love is called prem anjana. This word anjana, it means ointment. There's also a rare English word, unguent. There's another word for ointment. You can see the etymological connection between ungment and anjana. For those who are scholars, kind of interesting things. So this praying ungment, this praying ointment, how do you get it? I want it. I want to have that ointment where I can become qualified to see Krishna directly. Where do you get that ointment? How do you apply it? They're not a local pharmacy, what do they call it, or drugs? In America they call it pharmacy. What do you call it here? Pharmacy? Same thing. What pharmacy has premanjanam? Where can I get that premanjanam? It's interesting. What was the problem before he started this kind? What was his profession? Pharmacist. Aha! Kalbaba is a pharmacist, and he's still a pharmacist. ISKCON is actually a pharmacy. Well, we only have one medicine, that's premanjana. It's premanjana medicine now. You go to the ISKCON pharmacy, you can get that premanjana, the ointment, love of God. Now, how do you apply it? Little tube you put in your eyes, or how do you apply that ointment? It's a very mystical ointment. Supply, you take it in through your ears. The glories of Krishna, you see. Machchita magata prana bhavayanta paraspadam kantiyantashtamam yajam tashanta charamantacha. The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So these topics of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The topics of Krishna, his pastimes, his qualities, his forms, his entourage, everything related to Krishna, all of these topics, they're called Krishna Katha, topics of the Lord. So by hearing these topics from one who is purely following this process, you see that acts as a mystical ointment that comes into the ears and gradually purifies your vision. It takes some time. Of course, it could happen within a minute. You know Maharaj Katvanga. You know the story of Maharaj Katvanga. He went to know how to achieve perfection. He was told to fix his mind on Krishna. Actually, and he did that and immediately became liberated. So it's possible to instant nirvana is actually possible. So try for it. You can actually have instant nirvana. Boom. So why not try for it every minute? You see. Of course, it may take some time. I've been doing this for almost 50 years now, almost a half a century I've been doing, and I still haven't seen Krishna face to face either. Of course, the deity I'm seeing. But I'm making progress. I can see the difference to my consciousness from when I was a young brahmachari in 1971 and now. It's a huge difference in my consciousness and the way I experience life, the way I see things, the way I feel. It's a humongous difference. Anybody who sticks with this process and follows the initiation vows strictly without deviation will have an amazing dawning within the heart. It will take time, but it does work. The process works. You stick with it, you will have incredible experiences within your heart. So, it's up to us whether we're going to do it or not. Many people come and go from our movement. They're not patient. Any good thing requires patience. Must be patient. Because how long have we been caught up in sense gratification? How many millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of lifetimes have we simply been running after sex life and tongue pleasure? Is it the genitals and the tongue? How many millions of lifetimes we simply absorb ourselves in these things, these temporary pleasures, which lead to so many anxieties and difficulties. So to overcome that tendency towards sense gratification takes time. It takes time. The good news is our natural inclination is to love Krishna and not to be carried away by the tongue of the genitals. That's our natural inclination. So, ultimately nature is working on your side. He's going to plug into your spiritual nature, which is the actual nature of the self. The material nature is a covering only, because that body is not you, and that material mind is not you also. These are coverings. So one will have faith in this principle by hearing from the spiritual master and actually experimenting with it and and verifying it by your own experimental knowledge that this process actually does transform my consciousness. I heard about it, I heard it would do this, I tried it, and by golly, it worked. I plug into this process and I did have transcendental realizations, I did have transcendental experiences beyond my material body and mind. So one actually sticks with this process, has patience, determination, and enthusiasm. Those are the three things. Patience, determination, and enthusiasm. If you can have those three qualities and hold on to them, just like this microphone stand you see, it's got three legs. Two legs that'll fall over. One leg is finished. But three legs make this solid, it's a solid stand for this microphone here. So those are the three legs you need if you want to be actually become self-realized person. You have to be determined, you have to be enthusiastic, and you have to be patient. If you have those three qualities and you hold on to them tightly and don't let go of them, you're going to have incredible mystical awakenings within your heart in due course of time. As Prabhupada told me in that letter, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. If you stick with this process, you're going to have all kinds of amazing, amazing experiences that'll make the Kim Purusha Loka residents look like, you know, idiots compared to what you can actually experience. So we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions. Questions? Complaints? Yeah.
Very good. Whenever I hear your classes, it's always
about
Prabhupada. Every second almost, Prabhupada.
Prabhupada is my life. I mean, how could Prabhupada not be there?
Thank you so much.
I'm just a dead man. I mean, I'm just a fallen hippie. And Prabhupada turned me into a happy. A spaced out bewildered hippie turned into a happy by Prabhupada. I'm very indebted to Prabhupada. Actually, there's videos of Prabhupada actually sitting here on this Vyasa Sun. So when I come here, it's like I look at the deity and then I, you know, it's like Prabhupada, it's not just, sometimes it's not a deity, it's actually, I look at it, it's not just a deity, it's actually Prabhupada sitting there sometimes. It feels like that. It's a very powerful place. Prabhupada took darshan of these deities. This is a very, very, this is Prabhupada's lila right in this room. It's a very powerful place.
You were here with him?
No, I just saw the videos. I was never in Australia until after Prabhupada left the planet. I was in the U.S., in Texas, California, in Florida, Georgia. I get some association there in California, in Atlanta, some association I got. So, any other question? Yes.
Very nice class. I just had a question about you were saying the three pillars. You were saying patience, yeah. Determination, and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So, as you're going in your journey of Krishna consciousness, and you notice one of them sort of depleting, and you don't want it to, but it's happening.
Ask Krishna to help you. Krishna, I'm losing my determination. Please help me. Krishna, help me. Anytime you see or you're in difficulty there, you just go to Krishna and ask for help, and he will. Krishna's with you at every minute. He knows what you're going through. Krishna wants you to come back to pure devotional service, ASAP. If you're having difficulty, you just pray to him, my dear Lord, I'm having difficulty. Please help me. He will definitely help you. Do you think Krishna doesn't care? Krishna wants you back to his abode more than you can even begin to imagine. So whenever there's difficulties, ask Krishna to help you, and he will. No problem. Actually, we were talking yesterday, difficulties are the greatest blessing. I mean, who wants difficulties? But actually, difficulties are the greatest blessing, because then you take shelter of the Lord. No difficulties. Who needs God? I don't have any difficulties. But when difficulties are actually the greatest blessing, you can understand on my own, I'm lost, I'm in a helpless condition, therefore I'm dependent on the Lord. So that actually Queen Kunti Devi was praying for difficulties. She was saying, my dear Lord, the whole story of Kunti Devi goes like this. She was the mother of the Pandavas, so when they were sent into exile, she went with them to the forest. It was very difficult for a woman who's accustomed to living in a palace, to live in the forest where there's man-eating demons. It was a very, very hellish situation. For many, many years, she lived in the forest in exile with her sons. But Krishna was with them, protecting them and blessing them every step of the way. And then finally the exile was over, they were restored to the palace life in Hastinapur, and now Krishna's going to leave, he's going back to Dwarka. And she's thinking, oh, then those difficulties come again and again. She prayed in the Sanskrit. Let those difficulties come again and again and again. Because when the difficulties come, I can see you while you're there protecting us. See? So actually, the advanced devotees pray for difficulties. Of course, I'm not that advanced yet. The advanced devotees beg for difficulties. Because that's when they can experience Krishna directly. At least for us neophytes, when difficulties come, we should think this is a great opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. For us neophytes, we can think like that. Now the difficulties come, we should not be disturbed by them, but say, oh, Krishna has blessed me with this difficulty, so that I can now take shelter of him and feel his protection and his mercy showering upon me. Anything else? Everyone satisfied? Ready to become pure devotees and make the world Krishna conscious? Everyone ready?
Yes.
This is revolutionary. You know what we sing every morning? Vajirna Singha, Hridayena Singha. You know how Papa this translated that? Literally, it's Nishinga within, Nishinga without, right? But how does Papa translate it? May Lord Nishinga Dev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. And I'm praying that I can be the pure devotee and I can make a revolution on the planet. Do you realize you're praying that every day in the Shinga prayers? You can be a pure devotee, you can revolutionize the world. But here in this singer, here they hear this singer. You're actually praying to be a spiritual revolutionary. That's the meaning of the here in this singer. May I now be able to make the whole world Krishna conscious. But here in the singer, should they hear this? So anyway, anything else? Nothing else, we can adjourn early today. There's nothing else? Something unclear? Something, yes.
I've been, when I'm talking to others about Krishna consciousness, I often hear about people equating Bhagavan, the Lord, with other deities. Although it's very clear, but they have references from other scriptures.
You mean saying that Durga and Krishna are the same?
Yeah. Especially with Shiva, they equate the...
So you're asking them what to think about that?
Sorry.
What is the question in regards to those who equate the Lord with the demigods?
Yeah, so when they chant, they say, I chant considering everyone equal and then I keep chanting. Does it help or is it an offense?
I don't quite understand the question.
So when their understanding when they chant, is that Krishna and Lord Shiva are the same, and then they continue chanting. So will that help him?
Lord Shiva worships Krishna as the supreme.
Yes, but but they have some
reverence. Lord Shiva actually served Lord Krishna in his Vrindavan Lila. He's the security guard for the Rasa Lila. You know, we go to Vrindavan, we go to a Shiva temple, Gopeshwar. How many have been to the Gopeshwar temple in Vrindavan? Yeah. Lord Shiva is worshipped in Vrindavan. He's the he's the security guard to keep the nonsense out of the Rasa Lila. So yeah, Lord Shiva is a great devotee. Lord Krishna, we worship him. He's a great devotee. We don't minimize the demigods, but we understand their position and we worship them accordingly. If one thinks the demigods and the Supreme Lord are one and the same, then that's ignorance, it's foolishness. They are servants of the Supreme Personality of God. And they are, Shiva's not the origin of everything. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava mutaksaram pravartate. I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Shiva doesn't say everything emanates from him. Shiva is an emanation from Krishna. Krishna is we study in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Controller. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha. He has an eternal form full of bliss and knowledge. Anadir Adir Govinda. He has no origin. He is the origin of everything that exists. And he is called Govinda. And Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So Shiva exists by dint of the fact that Krishna is emanating Shiva from himself at every minute. And all the demigods, they are emanations from Krishna. We are also emanations from Krishna. He's the original source of everything. Nothing exists except by dint of Krishna emanating that person or that thing from himself. So to think that the emanation is the same as the emanator is a misunderstanding. Of course, in one sense, they are one. It's like the sun and the sunshine. When the sunshine enters your room, you may say, oh, here comes the sun. It's like that Beatles song, here comes the sun. Now, was it the sun globe or the sunshine? See, was it in the UK, it's so foggy, it's so cloudy most of the time. If they see the sun, it's a big thing. Oh, wow, the sun's shining today. So the Beatles wrote a song about it. One day the sun was shining. Here comes the sun. But that was not the sun planet, that was the sunshine. So in one sense, everything is Krishna. It's energy. You, in that sense, you are also Krishna. You're his emanated energy. The demigods, everything that exists is Krishna's shine. There's Krishna and Krishna's shine, his energy. So just like the sun shine, it's considered to be one with the sun and different from the sun simultaneously. Similarly, we, the living entities, including the demigods, are also living entities. We are the emanation, the emanated energy of Krishna. So in one sense, we are Krishna. In the other sense, we are not. It's called a achinchaveda-veda-tattva. The absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. So in one sense, you know, they are the divine. Because everything is the divine. It's all his emanated energy. So that's another understanding about the relationship between Krishna and the demigods, and us also. Now sometimes in different scriptures the demigods are described as supreme. But that's for their followers to fix on worshipping them. But it's not an absolute supremacy. Sometimes it is described as to help them fix on, it's like if somebody's in the prison, they see the warden as the supreme. But actually the prime minister is the real supreme in the country, not the warden. But for the prisoner, in the prison, the warden is supreme. See, Durga is the prison. So Durga Devi is the warden of the prison. So for someone who's in the prison, oh, she's the supreme. Because they don't realize there's something beyond the prison. So if you're in the prison and you think the warden is supreme, that may help you to get released. Because you deal nicely with the warden. That may be good for you. So it may be good for them to think Durga is the supreme. At a certain level, you see. But ultimately, you have to go beyond that in your liberation. You have to go beyond that. So now our time is... one last thing, yes.
Was Jesus a Krishna devotee?
Jesus Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna. Actually, it was Jesus Christ that inspired me to become a devotee. I've been inspired by Lord Buddha to seek spiritual enlightenment. And I was trying to figure out how to achieve it. But I figured that Lord Jesus was a self-realized soul, so I was studying the Bible, the New Testament, trying to figure out what made Lord Jesus a self-realized soul so I could do the same thing. And one day, I found it. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I said, that's it. You just got to do what God wants, not what you want. You see? So actually, Jesus made me a devotee. And that, but how to do that? I didn't know, but then Vishnujana Swami showed up, and I saw how to actually do it practically. The idea, Christ gave me the idea, I didn't know how to do it, but then ISKCON showed me how to do it. You see, Papa showed me how to do it. So Lord Jesus is a self-realized soul, the pure devotee of Krishna. It's even described in the Aquarian Gospel how he went to India, how he went to Jagannath Puri, etc. It's all described in the Aquarian Gospel. Of course, we don't know how authoritative it is, but the fact is in the Bible that there's a missing, between the age of 12 and 30, there's a whole missing period. You know, not described what he did. So it could be that Aquarian Gospel is correct, how he went to India and he went to Jagannath Puri and the Darshan of Jagannath, etc., etc., etc. But one thing is for sure in the book, in the Bible, he says, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready for it yet. So Christ gave a very elementary knowledge, and for that little knowledge, they put him on the cross, you see. But actually, he had much higher knowledge that he didn't reveal to the people, they weren't ready for it, but that higher knowledge is here in the Bhagavad Gita. So we don't see any difference, actually. There are many great spiritualists in history. They were all speaking according to time, place, and circumstance. Muhammad also. They're dealing with what the people at that time and place could understand and how much they could actually apply things. But now the Prabhupada is giving the highest, fullest understanding of the knowledge of God. And we can take advantage of that. Make our lives perfect, and we actually make the whole world perfect. We convince all these fools and rascals to take up this process. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Guru Premanandi ki jai.